Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's
world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Welcome, you guys, to your second captain's Why Don't You Think About Signing Up to the World Service podcast. What a week we've had in the Champions League. Four outstanding games. Two of them at the same time on Tuesday night, Arsenal-Bayern and Real Madrid against Manchester City, with Ken attending the Republic of Ireland versus England at the Aviva while those games are on. Just how did he catch up by the time he recorded Wednesday's football pod?
In full disclosure, yeah, I have to make a confession.
You haven't watched all 90 minutes?
No, I have. I have actually. I have watched all 90 minutes. And I've paused and I've gone back and looked at the details. Mm-hmm. But by the time I started watching this game, it was after midnight. And I was like, oh, Christ. I've watched a lot of football. I already know what happens in the game. Then I was like, I'll have to tell you another thing.
Okay.
Owing to my domestic TV setup, I was only able to record the Man City game on the, you know, TV box thing.
Yeah.
I couldn't also record the Arsenal game. I had to source the Arsenal game on the internet. I was able to find a website, which somehow, I assume they had rights, but had this game in full HD.
Well, that's right? What
I legitimately recorded. Full HD. And also I then noticed on the settings, the possibility to play the game at a variety of speeds.
Oh, wow.
From 0.25, 0.5, 0.75, 1, that would be the regular speed, all the way up to 2.
Did you go up to 2?
Well, I started off on 1.7. Well, I was watching at normal speed. Then I realized I could do this. And then I was like, okay, let's try 1.75. And I thought, this is actually quite good. I can see the whole game. It's just not taking as long. I can understand the commentators. It's just they kind of sound a bit chipmunky or whatever. Ali McCoist. He's just more clipped.
I was going to say, Ali McCoist must have been very enthusiastic at 1.75 speed.
And then Hargreaves comes in and he's sort of even more intense. But then I was like, what about if I, you know...
Slower down.
Tried it at 2.
Oh.
And I was like, I can still understand the commentators and I can still see what's happening in the game. It's just that it's actually, in a way, better because I'm getting more of a sense of the shape of this game than I would be if I was watching it in real time and kind of forgetting what happened 20 seconds ago. You know, all the events of the past just receding into the ultimate darkness,
yeah,
you know, into which they all go after 20 seconds. I'm getting more of a sense of the, you know, the way the sides are probing here, you know? Arsenal keep attacking up that right side, you know what I mean? They're really going for that right side. And then the other weird thing was when something happens that you're like, okay, I want to have a proper look at this, and you put it back to one speed, suddenly everything is like incredibly slow. And it's like the commentators sound drunk,
yeah,
and the players are just like this moving in this syrupy way, like it's the gravity is really big. And I was like, wow, this is what reality is like? You know, it's like it's this purple drank kind of... You know, I'm just so it was quite interesting. You know, you get used to it so quickly, being on double speed. Like I thought, this isn't ideal, but look, it's late. Then I was like, no, this is actually
good. You've unlocked a new way to watch football again.
You know,
you don't really like these changes. I remember, you know, the old fake crowd noise being pumped in. Weren't a big fan of that. back in the early COVID days. This, though, this will work.
They're raving about the pace of Leroy Sané, whatever is he, you know, to my mind, just sort of like really slowly, like he's on the moon, makes his way through this. And so I, that was interesting. But, you know, I felt I got a real good sense of the game, you know, and I feel that on the basis of that, I can still talk about it.
You can talk authority or otherwise about it, it's fine.
Anything, it all turns out to be about the referee anyway.
Yeah, every game is.
So all of our penalty decisions, and there was a couple of big ones in the game. One of them was given. This was the Sané one. I don't think anyone had any problem with that. It was obviously a penalty. Then there was the, which Harry Kane scored. And I don't know if you saw Harry Kane's comment about that, where he said, yeah, I've been studying him. Right, that is. He likes to go. He gets to the corners really early. So I had to change my style a bit, but I was glad to see that he went really early and made it easy for me. that's nice. It's great to have Harry Kane just, you know, witheringly analyze your penalty.
There is a second leg coming up, by the way.
I know. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what Rye is going to do in that one. I mean, hopefully Arsenal don't give away any more penalties. I mean, Harry Kane obviously is not necessarily the best player in terms of taking penalties against the same goalkeeper. Maybe if it's a different night, it's, you know, he doesn't get the albite effect. Rye had a terrible game, I think. I mean, I say he had a terrible game. He it's not like he did much wrong, but he made two massive... The penalty can't be described as a massive mistake. I thought he was weak on the penalty. Like, he literally fell over. He got completely done by Kane's run-up, fell over. Kane just, like, rolled it in the other side, made it really easy for him, as Kane himself said. The first one is a massive mistake by Raya. Like, this was the... I mean, it's an absolute... if I remember correctly, it's basically just Musiala kind of hoiks a big, like a clearance, effectively, which Harry Kane is chasing. And then Gabriel is obviously going to get to the ball first. Like, it's Gabriel's ball. And then for some reason, Raya is right there. Raya has for some reason decided that he's like the defensive midfielder and he's going to run and get this ball. Gabriel's not looking at him at all. Raya should be coming back here, or you know, he it's one thing to give an option to Gabriel to offer yourself for a pass, but he literally gets in his way. Like, it was crazy. What are you doing? And Gabriel, he completely confuses Gabriel, who then realizes, like, if I can't really pass back to him because of where he is, like, I could score an own goal here if I try and pass it back. So has to then play it up the line towards Kivior, who gets wrong footed by it. Suddenly Bayern have the ball. Rice then thinks, oh, I think I can intercept this pass, moves forward, and at that moment, Sané, I think it is, plays the ball behind him instead of in front of him to the player's feet, to Goretzka. They finished it brilliantly. This is the thing about playing Bayern. It's a little bit like Real Madrid or, you know, Liverpool playing Manchester United the other day. It's like you can't give these guys too many chances. They are good enough to punish you. It's not like you're not playing Brighton now or whatever, you know, or whoever. Arsenal have been consistently winning games in Champions League and France, in the Premier League. They haven't been making these types of mistakes, but Bayern have players of the quality that will exploit these mistakes if you make them. And that was a huge mistake by Raya. You know, when you consider all the stuff about Ramsdale and Raya
died
come
off,
in,
yeah, because in recent times it's like no one's talking about that.
Yeah, you know, Raya, to be fair, helped them to win the penalty shootout last time, you know, but this is a huge game and he really made a mess of it.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
John Delaney could run anything. I think the FAI are fortunate that they were able to track somebody of his calibre.
I'm delighted to announce on behalf of the FAI that Mick McCarthy is our new international manager.
It's 2 years' time. You know, we don't know what will happen.
The senior team is not my brief. My brief is the under-21 international team.
Further announcement today is that Stephen Kenny will commence as our under-21 manager.
What if he comes in and rips it up with the 21s?
In August 2020, yeah, I'm taking over, and that's been decided.
I don't want to give the amount of money. But I can say it's at least €100,000 in cash.
No, it's not in writing, it's just...
No, it's in writing, yeah.
We have to write the checks tomorrow morning. The credit line and the ability to pay is there. Full stop.
We're in good shape, Dad. You just keep getting better. I got this.
We're announcing two grassroots initiatives today, Ken, for the Vantage seats. For as little as €100 a month on direct debit, over 10 years, you can be assured of your Vantage seat.
You are... fucking idiot.
We have to do what we're doing. We have to do it. And we're doing it.
And after the Euros in 2020, Stephen will take charge of the senior international team.
Disgraceful reaction to that. But listen, I woke up to listen to it again, because that's the last game. I'll see you. I'm out of here.
Mick,
a bit more about that.
John Delaney could run anything.
We had another Champions League show for you today, and we spoke to our man in the Basque Country, Beñat Gutiérrez, live from Bilbao, where 1 million people are gathering to celebrate their first major trophy in 40 years. First major trophy, in fact, since the day the Bilbao players traded fly kicks with Barcelona's Diego Maradona in one of the most insane brawls in football history. Speaking of fly kicks...
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think... sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
Marking his live debut, Eric will play shows in a tour titled Cantona Sings Eric. The tour will see Cantona bring his great passion for music to life through expression and live performance, which fans will not want to miss. Well, one fan who did not miss Cantona's live performance at the Liberty Hall last night was our own Brano, who delivers his considered review of A Very Strange Night exclusively for our World Service members today. I'll be honest, it's a one-star review.
I did one of my favourite things in the world, which is to go and look at the Google reviews and then look at the one-star reviews from all the mad people.
Absolutely disgusting behaviour, and it was clear they were the ones with a very bad attitude. This is totally unnecessary and extremely disrespectful, or even bullying.
One star from Brano for Eric. I'm giving 5 stars to Richie's interview with Vera Powell, which is available now wherever you get your podcasts. You do not have to be a member to hear this one. If you haven't heard it already, you might have seen some of the headlines it's been making over the last 24 hours. Vera digging out her successor and former assistant Eileen Gleeson for backing down Caldwell after Caldwell's public criticism of Powell. Richie went deep into the breakdown of relations between Vera and her players in the lead up to our first ever appearance at the World Cup, culminating in this scene after... This is after our final game in Australia.
We went to the celebration. Then after the celebration, the bus had to stop because the players wanted to change and they just left. They changed on the bus. Everybody had to wait for 20 minutes and they just left to go out without any decency. So that was it. And I flew home.
In Katie's speech when she thanked the staff, did she mention you?
Not specifically.
Really? How did you feel about that?
I felt it, but I felt so much already during the tournament. It's clear.
Yeah, so morale not amazing in the camp at the World Cup. Vera Powell did patch things up with Katie McCabe to an extent, as you'll hear if you listen to the full conversation. Now, Powell was adamant that there was a deep bond with the players when they qualified and in her tenure for a large part, but that it started to unravel after The Athletic published allegations about her management from her time in America and the FAI's subsequent reaction to the fallout, a fallout that she feels is going to follow her for the rest of her career.
Can you see yourself taking charge of an elite team anytime soon?
The issue is, in the Western world, nobody will appoint me. not because they believe them, because in football people know me, but because they don't want the issues around it. So they don't, if they appoint me, they immediately get questions. And that is why I will never be appointed in the Western world.
Do you think you're now unemployable?
In the Western world, yes.
Wow.
You can listen to Vera Powell in full, as I mentioned, wherever you get your pods. Now that's out and available. Sign up to the World Service to hear Gavin Cooney and Malachy Clerkin ponder a question that I've asked Malachy in particular more than once over the years. Can, wait for it, this is a big one. Can Rory McIlroy win the Masters?
How many years have I done a Masters preview with in many, many different iterations? Rory has played most of those years, and I've probably said that he'll win somewhere along the way. You can't say that he'll win. Look, he hasn't played well since the start of the year. He won in Dubai and should have also won in one of the other Gulf States the week before he came second. But he's been terrible in the States. Until last week, he has gone doing a bit of work with Butch Harmon and has worked on his approach play, which has been the real sort of glaring problem with him over the last, certainly since the start of the year, and specifically at Augusta over the last few years. Like, when you break golf down into the statistical categories, his driving was fine, his putting was actually very good, his around the greens was very good, but his approach play from what they do, the 150 to 175 yards, was like really low down in the average of the field. That was better last week in Texas after working with Butch Harmon. He improved his stats there and ended up coming third without, not really threatening to win. He was seven or eight off the playoff, but he was solo third. So he obviously fixed something there for that week. If he has a week where he can be just a wee bit above average with those approach shots to the green, then he'll be in the top five, like, because the rest of his game is fairly fine.
It's,
you know,
never been technical, already, has it, with him at the Masters? You've managed to get through an entire answer without saying the words scar tissue there, Mal, and I commend you on that one.
Yeah, there is a bit of that. Yeah, he has definitely at this stage sort of at least talked himself into the point where everybody says that the problem is mental. And he has sort of said it too, thereby making the problem mental, you know, that, you know, we who watch sport can never say with any reliance that, oh yeah, he's a real mental block there. But he has sort of said it. But like Rory says a lot of things and says the diametrically opposite thing maybe 6 weeks later. I think there is a bit of scar tissue there, but I think at the same time, we always say, you know, he has a real chance, the Augusta suits him and all this sort of stuff. He's really only contended twice/three times. So the year that he threw it away in 2011, and then the year he went out against Patrick Reed, whatever that was.
Oh, 2018.
And beyond that, you know, he's a pile of top fives that he's sort of hung around without ever really on the back nine having a chance to do it. I think he can win. Of course he can win. He is one of the absolute elite players of the game. If it clicks, it's trending in the reasonably right direction, because the thing that he was really bad at, he was half decent at last week. So if he carries that forward into this week, it could happen. But sure, you'd be mad to say it. Like,
yeah, Gav. The assumption is that he has the technique and the game to win, and it's just a mental problem. I'm not sure if that's fully the case. Now, trust me, the mental problems are profound, but the technical problems are there as well. Because in my relatively short time covering golf, one of the stock questions you ask is, what's the key to scoring lower end this course? And everyone will say you have to drive the ball straight and land it in the fairway. The one exception is that they don't say that at Augusta, because it doesn't really matter. It's not as penal, because the rough would frankly look bad. So as a result, they cut it fairly low.
And they have pine straw instead of rough, basically.
So the most important shot is the second shot. It's the irons, it's the wedges. And that's where McIlroy has struggled this year. Like, prior to Texas last week, he was outside the top 150 for strokes gained approach on the PGA Tour, which is nuts. And, you know, Nick Faldo has been saying for 10 years plus that McIlroy can't win the master is because his wedge play isn't good enough, you know. So, and he's been, he himself has admitted that he's been struggling with this left miss, that what's felt good off the tee, it means he's been hooking irons left, and there's water left on 11, water left on 16, and as a result his scorecard this year has been, you know, so many double bogeys, loads of triple bogeys, those big mistakes that McIlroy makes that, you know, the other elite players, the very, very elite players, don't really make. So there is question actually as to whether he has the game to win it, but he doesn't have the mental game to win it. I mean, last year was a choke, like an out and out choke. He came in with a red hot putter, he'd had his best ever day on the greens at Bay Hill a couple of weeks before, and he came in having shot a 64 on the Sunday the year previous, genuine sense of serenity, convinced himself that he had figured it all out, 72-77 to miss the cut. If you remember last year, he was in the late early wave on Thursday, Friday. Mm. So he escaped all the bad weather. There was a deluge on Friday that John Rahm had to battle through. And it meant, you know, Rahm had to play nearly two full rounds on the Sunday. He missed all that. The field is padded out with tenured septuagenarians like Sandy Lyle. These guys are there to miss the cut. So you should never, Rory McIlroy should never be missing the cut of the Masters. And yet he did it. And I remember watching him walk off and he had this haunted look of a man who'd just been told that everything you believe to be true is false. I don't know if he can ever come back from that. I hope I'm wrong, obviously. But I don't know.
Sign up to the World Service and secondcaptains.com. €5 a month plus VAT. All episodes will be available without any ads if you become a member. And the Second Captains podcast, I should also say, is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Whose phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The Second Captains World Service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.